Okay, welcome to Course in Miracles. You showed up.
I just did.
You did.
And it's my Friday, and
I'm... Yeah. Okay, so we are all supposedly free? Supposedly free?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, record scratch, we tend to live our lives like the tail on a dog. Whoosh, 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 of emotions. Emotions pop up. What's these emotions things? Day was going fine. You were under control. And then that happened. Ah! Suddenly your mind goes, starts jumping through hoops and judging, guilting, fearing, analyzing, worrying, emoting. Suddenly, for that input, there's somewhere, a button in you that I can press. If I know you well enough, I can get some emotion out of you too.
Wouldn't take much with me.
We all have this. The more you're invested in something of the world, the easier it is for me to find that button and press it. Turns out that this button to your emotions is one way to describe the hold the world has on your identity. On you. The easier I can find the buttons to press on you and have it evoke those emotions, the more certain I am that you are drunk on separation and probably rely on things like guilt in order to survive. It's a tell that if your emotions drive you instead of you, like a great actor, calling on your emotions at the appropriate time so that you could be a great player in the world. See, that would be the more liberated approach. The victim approach is, please don't talk about this. It's been too soon. Please don't mention my ex. I'm still... can't believe what she did.
Now who?
Or he, huh? That guy... What right did he have to do that to you? Couldn't happen to a nicer girl.
Pretty good guy.
Yeah. The emotions creep up. So, what I'd like you to do, let's spend a couple of minutes and let's just look at this word, this power of the ego. What are these emotions? What is that? You agree with me? I call them a power. That make any sense to you? Emotions are a power of the ego? Is that true? What are emotions? What's the goal of an emotion? What does an emotion do? Pick an emotion. Could be happiness, laughter, love, sadness, anger. Pick an emotion and see what is that emotion, what's its job, what's it going to do, how does it serve. Are you a victim to your emotions? Now see somebody else having this emotion. What are they going through? What's the body going through? And one last time, what is an emotion? What is it? What's an emotion?
My teacher.
Yeah?
Teaches me what's going on in my life.
Uh-huh.
Whether I'm making myself sick or I'm healing myself.
What happens when you have an emotion?
I react either with love, unconditional love or unconditional love. It's kind of like, you know, happens crazy, get crazy reactions a lot of times.
Why do emotions show up? Why? When do they show up?
I just was listening to this podcast during my workout, and it said, and it was on emotions, and it said emotions are trained reactions that we learn from what we see. So, and it was interesting because they said there were people that were, you know, not children. They were adults, and they'd had never really been able to see very well, and they'd have cataract surgery to remove the vision blocks, and they still couldn't see shapes for quite a long period of time, in some cases months or years, because their mind had never been trained to see these particular objects. The mind didn't know how to process them.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't have the same kind of emotions wrapped up in them. But we learn from the time we are babies how we're supposed to react to a certain thing. We fall down and the mom goes, and you start crying. I mean, it's you learn how to cry or be afraid or, you know.
Pattern gets set up very strongly.
Yes.
So it's an emotion. It's
definitely a combination of brain pattern and chemistry. Mm-hmm. And the way that, you know.
Accesses the chemistry.
Absolutely. And then you're off and running once the chemistry's gone.
Yeah.
Affects the brain pattern.
It's like that, what could you call it? An amygdala hijack. You're just hijacked. Mm-hmm. Basically in that moment. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is of a lot of the great work that's been done recently with brain science is, you know, one of the ways we establish these patterns is something happens.
Uh-huh.
And so our brain puts it, you know, in a particular place.
Yep.
And then rather than every experience finding its own place, what the brain looks for is what's a similar experience.
Bingo.
So that's why once in a while we find ourselves like reacting in a way like, what the hell? That's not really what, you know, like it just feels like such a huge overreaction.
Yep.
Well, the brain has translated that new input and said, hey, it's like that one.
Yep.
And then you're off and running, the whole thing's gone again.
Yep.
Pac-Man.
Everybody seen this before? No. Yeah, they're Pac-Mans. They're Pac-Mans.
No. Pool table.
So when you do it just right, you can't help but see the square. Everybody see the square?
Yeah.
If you really draw it well, you know, with a pattern, that square just kind of floats above the because it's this highly recognized pattern in the mind, the brain. We've been growing up around, and we tend to see squares as these complete, nice patterns. So we seem to see a square. There is no square there. No argument? Mm-mm. There's no square.
Mm-mm. It's just four patterns.
Yet the mind tends to close that and put the square there. That's like I say, if you draw it nicely. Next time I draw it, I'll be more careful.
No, really I know.
Do
you mean.
See it?
Yeah, you can see it.
Yeah.
Is there still square?
Learning how to draw.
Kinda.
Less of
No, not really.
Other than my memory
it's
of what was already there.
Figure, though.
In art, those would be called negative spaces, and you can turn. You can switch your eye to see the negative space rather than the positive space, and to draw something.
Since you guys haven't seen it before, I'm gonna do a good one, so you can just because this will stick with you. Just to make Stephen's point.
Truthfully, I go along more like with what David said.
Mm-hmm.
For me, emotions are kind of the bodily feelings. And that's my body telling me it's time for me to come and find out what's going on, what kind of a belief system I have that's causing the feelings.
So,
don't
mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
We'll never get it if you do.
Okay.
Now your circles are all jacked up. Yeah, those aren't circles.
I'm not going to redraw those.
Those aren't circles.
Yeah.
I thought he was originally drawing a square-headed Mickey Mouse.
The square pops a little better. And it's like the foreground. Because there's this mind pattern. Finding the Pac-Man is a less common thing. Mm-hmm. Especially with my goofy way I drew him. Square is easily recognized and the pattern immediately comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of the habitual thoughts that have pictured our entire world and the people we know. And when somebody squints an eye a little bit, we know exactly what that means when you do that. Because Mom used to do it, and it's when she was mad. These patterns built in heavily duty, and they will hotwire to the appropriate response. Like, this is hot wiring to a square so fast, I don't think you couldn't stop it. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can control it. You can't control that. Mm-hmm. That this square, even though there's no square, the mind is complete square.
Yeah. Square mind.
Yeah. And even if I remove one, I think it makes the point better. Mm-hmm. So this. The littlest things in life that we accept are built into the brain, the body, mind. And this is the habits that we would overcome. This is the habits of momentum of the ego and of the world.
Oh, the domestication.
The domestication on the planet, being in a body. And all the things that come with being in a body, one of them is squares. And you know what a square is.
Well, the inherited sort of biological imperative that it's either fight or flight.
I'll tell you, and 1,000 other patterns that we don't even question or suspect. I don't care to be aware of them, because a lot of them we think are healthy. And at some level, they are. You will navigate the world really well. It's good for you to know the difference between breathing air and breathing water. If your lungs feel really tight, there's a pattern around that. What you need is air. And you feel all wet and you're under the surface, go up. These patterns are great. But when we get into the idea of spiritual freedom, of rebirthing your spiritual identity, patterns like this speak loudly and quickly. And your body-mind is built this way and has surrounded you with all sorts of so fast you couldn't possibly stop them. Emotions, responses, judgments. Like that square. Mm-hmm. Course in Miracles workbook begins to show them to you like cards in a deck. One lesson after the other. Here's your anger. Here's your fear. Here's your idea of right and wrong. Here's your. So we catch them, we earth them, and then you're free. Even though you can still see a square there, you'll know that rather than there being a square there, what there is being is a thought of a square there. And so also with people's emotions and your own emotions, I'm never upset for the reason I think. But I sure as hell am upset. I sure as hell saw a square on that board. There was no square.
I felt almost like this weird, something wouldn't compute when you asked the first question, which I'm forgetting now, but it was more or less like, what is an emotion? Or what does an emotion do?
Yeah.
And, at first thought that it it confirms a reaction. And then I thought, but it's like, was like, ah, like something didn't fit. And then I was like, it informs a reaction. And, but I kept, the reason it didn't fit is I couldn't figure out what came first. And so I came to that it's a body reaction to thought, but it's that it was only thought. So I think so much that the emotion is first, mm-hmm. but it wasn't.
Mm. Very important orientation.
So the emotion is, in a way...
Before you look, the emotion was first. But once you catch an emotion as a processed thought, and the body is manifesting that thought, mm-hmm. emotions no longer come first. Mm-hmm. You have to look, though.
That's what I think. I'm not sure about you, David, but that's what I think you meant by a teacher, because if you... My emotions lead me to what my belief systems are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I have an emotion, if I go in and have a relationship with it, then eventually I come up with whatever I'm believing that is mm-hmm. causing that emotion.
Amen.
And then I can say, well, the next time I have the emotional, well, that's just that going on again.
Yes. So this is a manifestation of your beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Which is basically a thought.
Yeah, it's a thought manifest.
Yeah.
In the body.
It anchors you to the body. It ties you to the body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, yeah, it, what's the word I thought of? Yeah.
Doesn't even have to be an emotion. It could be a feeling of anything in the body.
Yes, and doesn't it make a self-fulfilling prophecy as it ties you tighter and tighter to the
yes.
body? That you feel an emotion, and then you start to think about the emotion that you're feeling. And when you find a reason for it, which is why we're very careful about asking why something is, because the ego will give you a why. And then you're going to feel even more victimized and locked into this cycle because you've got a reason why. And it's because of that. Well, you should be mad. Well, then I am. In fact, I'm even madder now.
Because I'm right.
And I'm wrong. And he
but
is
they,
wrong.
And she and they
always do that. And then the emotions get stronger. And now the circle feeds on itself. And you're tied tighter to your body. And you feel grateful for the emotion. Because it's somehow giving you some truth.
Wasn't the snag not so much the emotion, but that some, number one, we have attached a meaning to it
mm-hmm.
that's ongoing and very
mm-hmm.
activating.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of experiences over the last week where it's like, wow, I didn't get upset. Like I went for a dermatology appointment and I had the date wrong. Well, there is a time when I would have somehow made them wrong for me getting the date wrong.
Mm.
Like, what the hell, I'm here, I wasted my time, I took off work, a whole big story about it.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was ask, so when is my appointment? and I, you know, when I got in the car, I really noticed there really was nothing there.
No drama?
You know, I everything that I could have made up was true. Yeah, you know, I took off work, I arranged my whole day, all of that stuff. It just wasn't there.
You'd rather be peaceful?
Yeah, and then today, Jesse had a dental appointment at the vet, and they get there, and they'd had a conversation about calling me, maybe I could get there sooner, if they're ready for me sooner, I was kind of waiting for that. Well, I get there, and they tell me they won't be ready for 40 minutes. Well, again, took off work, you know, put Jesse in the car, the whole thing, and it's like, okay, so, you know, where can I get coffee? And they, you know, sent me over. So, some of that has, for me, I have to say, has to be a function of, I have a lot of ongoing fear around my dog's health.
Uh-huh.
And somehow that's tied into some belief or some patterned way of thinking that I have that when things get really good, they're going to go to shit.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
I'm always very cautious about,
yes,
having the experience of things being really good, because I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that exact thing this morning and how that's changed for me. And, I mean, something really tragic could happen, and I would certainly go through grief like anybody else would. Mm-hmm. But I honestly, because I was talking to God on my way to work, mm-hmm, I honestly don't feel that the shoe is going to drop anymore. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm, I will be okay no matter. I've already been through hell.
Uh-huh.
And I'm, yeah, I survived.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I, yeah, will be okay no matter, yes, what. And
yeah,
and I don't, I feel like almost nothing can shake the, I'm almost afraid to say it, but...
Well, you might even take some exercises in meditation and go over the hell that you went through, oh, and see the weaknesses you had in the middle of it,
uh-huh,
and say, I forgive Kim for responding that way. I forgive myself for responding
that. I've done that so much.
I know
already,
you have.
Yeah.
I know you have.
But
it's nice to revisit it in case, yeah, there wasn't anything that you didn't forgive.
Well, I know there is, because it comes up in my meditation all the time when I'm just trying to be quiet and find that place within,
yes,
me,
yes,
that I want to remember.
Uh-huh.
All the other shit comes up.
Nice. Okay.
And so I go, okay, I got that.
Yes.
Okay, I got that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
See, because the healed mind,
mm-hmm,
can still see. And remember, mm-hmm, the unhealed mind, like the Holy Spirit, can see the illusion.
Right.
Doesn't believe in it.
And that's the
power.
And the interesting thing is now, all of those visions for,
yes,
me,
yes,
they're not as frightening and they're not as painful as they used to be. I recognize,
yes,
them. They're annoying.
They can never go as dark as they were.
They're annoying.
Yes,
but
annoying.
That's about all the power
habitual
I can give
them. Even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like seeing that square, Kim.
Right.
See, things go bad, the square's going to pop up. You put those things in place, and it will pop up.
Yeah.
But you no longer have to believe, and you don't.
I was thinking about, and I was going to ask you to bring them back one day, those cards that you've got that have the things that you have to look at where you have
oh,
to...
Oh, yeah.
You have to stare,
sure,
at them to find the image behind the,
sure,
image.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what it's like,
yes,
to have to,
yes,
see the world.
Everybody know about this? She's talking about a stereoscopic, yeah, image?
You, magic eye.
You see the world, but you don't really see the world.
Yeah.
Those kind, yeah, of show your eyes how they can trick you. You,
yeah,
know?
There's something there you can't see. And just,
right,
by you relaxing,
yes,
and allowing,
mm-hmm,
yourself to go uncharacteristically out of focus, boom, something comes into focus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that once,
yeah,
you know, go through this on this path long enough.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You start to see things that weren't there, you know.
Indeed, like indeed. So. Yeah, and now when you go back and look at that page, you will have seen the image, even though you just can't quite see it again this time.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrating, because you can't quite relax enough to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you will never doubt it ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one
you
of the
can't,
things
right?
About the
right.
Course and Mastery is, like, I've really, some days it's like, how am I supposed to pray? Like, I'm not sure, you know? And given, you know, my background in, you know, Baptist kind of thinking, asking for things, and, you know, like not the way it is as I understand it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in trying to process my fear about my dog, one of the side effects has been, you know, like, I want to walk through the day with your words, your thoughts, your reactions, what actions are appropriate for me to take. And I think somehow when these two doctors things showed up, I'm sure that was in play somehow. Because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
Me would have thrown a fit. Or at least been sort of passive-aggressive about it.
Uh-huh.
At the that would have been the nicer version.
Yeah.
I would have pretended that
yeah.
it's
yeah.
all okay, but the veins would be popping in
yes.
my
mm-hmm.
forehead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like,
mm-hmm. yes, you would have been able to follow a pattern to get the veins up, at least get some of that energy, shameful, guiltful,
right.
or angry, or whatever, pick one, against them or against yourself. Pick one. And you
would have made it them first, and
okay.
then later I would have felt bad and made it about me.
Yeah, but it would have felt good to make it about them for a while. Blow off some energy. Yeah. It's not you. You're responsible.
Right. But you know, it was effortless. There
you
was
should
no,
be at work. What if
like
your boss asks you?
Anything. It wasn't like I said, I really need to get off of this, or I really need to let it go. There was no thought process involved.
You need the old you needed that guilt. What if your boss asks you, where you been, and why are you going again to the vet the same week? You've got to blame it on them for messing up the count. You can't be you, because that would be bad.
Well, fortunately, I have the sweetest, most loving boss in the world. Matter of fact, she encourages me rather than discourages me. Hopefully because I'm doing such a good job for her. But,
good.
But I get what you're saying, because I worked for a cranky 70-year-old man that was just like that. So,
But there's a cost to placing guilt in your life, whether it's on you or it's on them. There is a direct cost to it, and it's your piece.
And shame, I've noticed this last week, shame and guilt. Man, are they partners?
Aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the good emotions? Happiness.
I get a big kick out of my guilt.
You do?
Yeah. When I blame somebody else for something, I say, there I go again.
Yeah.
I laugh about
it. Nice. Good. Yeah. Nice.
So it's kind of like, I don't know, just feels funny to have something happen over and over and know that it's a pattern.
It's so healthy to not take things so seriously. Even the most serious things. It's just better not to take them so seriously as you deal with them.
Even other people's
bust death, yourself on that.
Even
right?
other people's death. So my family, my brother died like when he was 35. And all I could think was, he chose to have a life he had that caused him to die.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make a choice, that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed him, but I didn't grieve very much for him.
Nothing was broken because he died.
Yeah.
Nice.
He got to do what he wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
Caused him to die.
Okay, then. Yeah. Yeah. A Course in Miracles talks about, in a way, says, we'll not come take away from you. We wouldn't take away his, with circumstances that brought him to his death.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
He died because he wanted to finish his master's degree before he went and took care of his medical problem.
Mm-hmm. And so he's free to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And A Course in Miracles says that your fear will not be suddenly ripped out of your mind and piece of everything shown to you in a sudden ball of light. Because that would probably cause you fear, it says. And that is the opposite of our program. If we just gave you perfect enlightenment, pow, right now, freak you out.
But it is okay to pray that you can get absolutely as much light, push it to the end.
Yeah.
Without scaring me half to death. I do that.
That's sort of like when people that you know have a lot of money say it's really not about the money.
Yeah, right?
It's kind of like that. Well, but let me give it a try.
I think I'm struggling. So actually, I get all this, and it's been a powerful meeting already, but I feel like I had an aha moment, but the aha moment hasn't helped probably because it's like, it means I have to take responsibility, but like, it seems like if I have something really big and shitty in my life, then I can be a good course student because I need to survive that thing. But then it's like, otherwise, the rest of the time, I can just go through the motion. And so then I started thinking, like, oh my God, I'm like creating all this shit so that it's, I don't know. I'm sorry.
The quicker you learn how to swim, the sooner you'd be comfortable around water. The quicker you face your fear about darkness, the easier you'll have walking through a dark room. The quicker you see this world is actually an illusion and you're not a body, although you are really focused on one, you are not that. The sooner you see that, the more free you'll be and the less you could possibly go back into the levels of depth you may have once been able to visit before. Sooner the better. So bring it on. Is it necessary? Is it necessary? No, actually, none of it.
I'm sorry, no, actually, what?
It's not necessary. There is no thing you have to go through in a body at all. You are not teaching God
how to be peaceful. And you are God. Awake. Fully awake. You're aware of your God nature. And it would be not, it has nothing to learn. Least of all, love. Least of all, don't freak out. Take things more lightly. It's as light as it gets. It's light itself. When you recognize your true nature.
So the other day, I haven't felt a lot of joy in a while, and I was just I touched into a moment of joy during a meditation, and it was very clear to me that that's always there. It's just always there, and that I'm blocking it.
Yes. Hello. Hello.
That's the taking responsibility part.
You hear she just said, I mean, it's no small thing. She went into meditation, afforded herself some meditation time, being still, and what did she find?
Joy.
She found joy. She found simplicity. She found patience. She found freedom. She found an easy breath. She found she liked being her in that moment, just for 1 second longer.
Mm-hmm.
She found a lot of really good stuff in her,
mm-hmm.
as her, and for her.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, and it's always there. Oh, you mean, yeah. You
but
could go
man,
through
we're
the rest
so
of your
all over the place. What? You know, it's like we have... You know, I'm not accustomed to like having joy happen spontaneously, but Santa Cruz is so beautiful. Sometimes just a bike ride or watching people ride their bikes and walk their dog, it's like, mm-hmm. it just fills me up.
Yes.
And then on the flip side, like in the depths of fear, almost always about my dog or about like, well, I've always had a job where ultimately I'm responsible for the well-being of a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Much less I'm like dealing with potential realities like an emergency plan.
Yeah.
Then I get freaked out about that.
Uh-huh.
But you know, what I have to be careful about is there's a fine line for me between being at peace with something and checking out,
mm-hmm.
where I've just numbed and checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got about what you were saying. In the moments where things are really great, I can feel tangibly the presence of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other times where things are okay and I'm like really a reach. Like I can fake it all day long about gratitude, but it's not cooking. You know?
Yeah.
And then I know I'm in that checked out world. Like, you know, that's my best defense mechanism, every ex-wife will tell you,
mm-hmm.
is just check out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's sometimes hard for me to tell the difference. Now, I could tell the difference with the two doctors things. That was not checked out. It's fully present, and it was
present,
just fine.
That's the key word.
Yeah, and it was just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But with my dog, I'll notice that, that's a strong defense mechanism.
Yeah.
That I'll just find a variety of ways, whether it's around, you know, baking some cookies or whatever the distraction is,
mm-hmm.
you know, in order to check out.
Oh, okay. God, I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's what this body's for, you know, like everyone has said it in little ways, like you've said it in what you were saying too. We're not used to feeling bliss. We're not. We haven't trained ourselves to feel bliss. What we've trained ourselves to feel is everything else. And the whole point of this game is to go into our own awareness. And every it's like every distraction. Like you were saying, you scrape your knee and you look at your mom. You don't go in. Like, and it starts with that. And so, everything good or bad, we have,
mm-hmm.
think of how conditioned we are for all of those things to be exterior things.
Mm-hmm.
The next pair of shoes I'm going to buy, the next batch of cookies you're going to make, the next place you are going to walk your dog, even that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything is about our next distraction, our next pleasurable enjoyment, whatever, relationship, day at work, what someone thinks of me. I mean, mm-hmm. just everything.
And it'll be good or it'll be bad.
It'll be good or it'll be bad, and that's how we gauge the next and the next and the next, and it's been like...
Good or be bad,
yeah.
depending on the pattern.
And the patterns aren't that varied. I mean, how many days have we been on this planet, you know? And every single day you get up, you hopefully eat some food, and then you go out in the day, and you either go to school, you go to work, or you do whatever. You have lunch, you keep going. you interact with people a lot, you know, and you get stuff done, and then you rest, and you contemplate, and you watch the rest of the world spin around. I mean, it's not that complicated. You know, like, we kind of...
But it will be intoxicating.
Absolutely
just intoxicating. Just like the square will show up.
Absolutely intoxicating.
Faster than you can stop it, but that square shows up.
You know, I work in natural products, and we had a CBD training this week, and I'm at them all the time, and she said something interesting, like, because CBD is such a subtle plant and such a subtle medication, and she just said, we're just not used to feeling blissed. And it's true, we're just not used to it. You know, like you were saying, it's like, oh, I found joy. It's like, oh, hallelujah. Like, you know, too bad we didn't.
That was brain pattern.
It's not.
No, we'll feel guilty for feeling bliss.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not part of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. You know, how to just feel good. Just how to feel good. Yeah. So we're all coming to this thing on Thursday night so we can, you know, allow this. Mm-hmm. And then as you've talked about the wake, you know, we were Thursday, Friday, Saturday. By Tuesday, we're like, oh, God, when's Thursday again?
Yeah.
You know? and it's like that it's so ingrained, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, when we say, like, bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring on the joy already. Mm-hmm. Let all this go and allow that in. Mm-hmm. Bring it all in. It's mm-hmm. like, that could be a night, like, it's about remembering, you know, it's about surrender mm-hmm. and allowing it and being aware that we're remembering sooner each time.
It starts with awareness.
Yeah, and the awareness, we don't go as far down the rabbit hole, mm-hmm. or maybe we don't go at all. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we're aware of that, and then the next time it's even quicker, and it's that little, mm-hmm. you know, like it's only little, you know, it's like, who used that analogy of the seagull? Was that you?
Oh,
Michael? Like, they're just out there. They're just doing, mm-hmm. they're not really doing anything. Mm-hmm. They're just doing this. Like, they're, you know, and they just are letting the wind do what it does. Every once in a while, mm-hmm. they have to do a little, mm-hmm. woo. But they're not fighting it. Mm-hmm. The sky doesn't chase the clouds, you know, it's just mm-hmm. like, whoosh. And so, but yeah, it's funny how reluctant we are to settle into that truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is curious.
Well, there's a reason, because just like any addict, the patterns show up that we trust and believe and show us squares.
Show us squares.
Whether you want to see them or not. Patterns show up. Like any addict, we turn to what is familiar. And that gets trusted first. And the pattern for the health of that dog is deeply set. It's a noose waiting to hang you, my friend. And as a dog knower and lover, and I shed great tears as my dog's died, I know that noose.
Yeah.
Right? But it's a pattern.
You know, an old guru, spiritual, wonderful man I know from Arizona, he's 80, and everybody would go to him. He walks and he talks to every dog in the neighborhood every night, big loop around this little town. He fell and broke his femur. Of course, I was like, oh no, Avi, his little walks, what's he gonna? And then a week later, he broke his other femur. Someone found him in the dark, waving his cane on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, of course, for him, I was like, oh, poor man, how is he? And I was told, he said it was the best thing that ever happened to him.
Two broken femurs.
Yeah. 8 years old.
It doesn't get any better than this.
It doesn't get better than this.
It's hilarious. He said it hurt a lot, but he also said, this is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Nice.
I go, what am I freaking out for?
Yeah. That is ruling his mind.
Yeah. Totally.
Yes. Turn to page 410 in the text. Chapter 19 is the section called The Attraction of Guilt. And we're drilling in on paragraph 12.
Hammer
David, which one are you
going
to
start?
We started on the
page. 410.
Which paragraph?
Paragraph 12.
Go back and forth.
I was waiting for one of you
to
land on it.
All right,
I
just oh my God, I'm sorry.
All right, Pam,
I'm going to read it.
Nope.
Pam's on it.
All right. Relationships in this world are the result of how the world is seen. And this depends on which emotion was called on to send its messengers to look upon it and return with word of what they saw. Fierce messengers are trained through terror, and they tremble when their master calls on them to serve him. For fear is merciless even to its friends. Its messengers steal guiltily away in hungry search of guilt, for they are kept cold and starving, made very vicious by their master, who allows them to feast only upon what they return to him. No little shred of guilt escapes their hungry eyes, and in their savage search for sin, they pounce on any living thing they see and carry it screaming to their master to be devoured.
What's that describing? What that paragraph just say?
It's about what fear sees.
Is it?
I think it says, in order for fear to live, it has to obey its master.
Obey its master. Yes. Same for love. Love obeys its master. Loving eyes, loving perspective, everything is a call for love or love itself. But it's love, no doubt. Fear? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, everything is a chance to lose. Even something you gain is something to lose. Mm-hmm. Oh. Relationships in this world, all of them, are the result of how the world is seen. Now that's not a statement of good or bad. It's just a fact. Here we are putting you responsible for your experience. Okay. Here we go. And this depends on which emotion was called on to send its messengers, love or fear. Fear's messengers are trained through terror, and they tremble when their master calls on them to serve, for fear is merciless, even to its friends. Because fear sees fear, recognizes fear, mm-hmm. and expects fear. Fear's messengers steal guiltily away in the hungry search of guilt, for they are kept cold and starving and made very vicious by their master, who allows them, ready now, only to feast, right? This pent-up tension when not satisfied with finding guilt, placing guilt for that appointment, placing guilt for that problem properly where it belongs. Only then will that itch be scratched. This is the ego. This is the attraction to guilt. Because you can make sense of your world if you just figure out who's guilty. Was it you? Well then, man up a bit, buck up a bit, own it, and become a better person for it. If it was you indeed. But if it wasn't your fault, well, put the blame where it belongs. So that you can feel better. This is the attraction to guilt. And your fierce messengers will do their job. Okay?
That's why I laugh when I start blaming somebody else.
Good.
Because it's funny that I would do that.
Yes, that's right. You're making up this judgment. Okay? Fear only feasts on what it returns. No little shred of guilt escapes their hungry eyes, and in their savage search for sin, they pounce on any living thing they see and carry it screaming to their master to be devoured. It's just the aspect of how the ego works to maintain its own comfort, even its survival. We want to be healed. That's why, you know, my vengeance hides the light of the world in me. In the workbook. And I am at home. Fear is a stranger here. I am at home. Fear is a stranger here. It has you bust. You know, there is no reason to fear. It's a whole lesson for the whole day. And there's more. And it's all to catch your mind at its deference, fear to power. Giving fear power. Making fear a guide even. Having exchanged fear for God. Look at...
Joy and delight the same thing? Or how are they related?
No, actually, delight is focused normally on some event, and joy is a overriding sense, transcending a situation, if you will, the way I heard you ask it. Delight's wonderful, but it's conditional. And joy has a sense of release.
Joy is truth.
I heard you right.
Okay.
And they're all, you know, on a scale of delight's great. Let it be an invitation to joy. What delight can I keep? How can I afford to be delightful all the time? That would be joy. That'd be a higher sense of delight. Okay, here we go. Page 217. Keep your finger where it was, okay? Go to 217, paragraph 9. And let's just look into this dirty little secret. And the whole range of what you can feel.
What page?
This is on page 217 of the text.
This whole page is multiple colors.
Yes!
I'm sure you're only
oh my God,
one
mine
paragraph.
Too. Yeah, mine too. This is just fantastic. Yeah, this is heavy duty. Yes, but all the other things are not on the top of where we're working. But this is, one of my favorite pages in the whole book. But we're going to go to part I don't normally go to. So, paragraph 9. Luann?
Fear is a symptom of your own deep sense of loss. If when you perceive it in others, you learn to supply the loss, the basic cause of fear is removed. Thereby, you teach yourself that fear does not exist in you. The means for removing it is in yourself, and you have demonstrated this by giving it. Fear and love are the only emotions of which you are capable. One is false, for it was made out of denial, and denial depends on the belief in what is denied for its own existence. By interpreting fear correctly as a positive affirmation of the underlying belief it masks, you are undermining its perceived usefulness by rendering it useless. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. 8 doesn't mean anything. Okay. Defenses that do not work at all are automatically discarded. If you raise what fear conceals to clear-cut, unequivocal predominance, fear becomes meaningless. You have denied its power to conceal love, which was its only purpose. The veil that you have drawn across the face of love has disappeared.
Okay, you know what we're talking about here? Correction of your mind. We're talking about enlightenment. We're talking about going from wrong thinking to right thinking. We're talking about recognizing that I've drawn 4 items on the board that made a square appear, but there was no square to be seen. We're talking about when you were in grade school at some point and you got it, that the sun does not come up over there and go down over there. That's not really what happens, is it? Pam, what happens?
There's a whole thing that happens.
You're
born around it.
You're
not
born around
us. It's just because you don't see it doesn't mean that, yeah.
Right. The earth is spinning. The sun's not moving at all. What?
All right.
I saw it come up over there. No, it actually didn't move. You, the earth, spinning. How fast is the earth spinning? Anybody know?
About 1,000 miles
fast.
1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, something like that.
Did you know that the surface of the Earth is moving in order for 24 hours you to be back in the same spot, and it's roughly 24,000 miles around,
yeah.
26,000 miles. It's 1,000 miles an hour you're traveling right now to get back here tomorrow at the same time.
No wonder I can't keep my hair in place.
Right?
I haven't had a good hair day in a while.
Yeah, so the Earth's very busy making the sun look like it's going up and down. It's not going up and down. Oh. You see, it would be right thinking to recognize that Earth is spinning, because it's true. Not for any other reason. And you could live your life thinking that the Earth is still, because it feels still, and that would be just fine. It just wouldn't be true. You can live a whole life that way, and who cares?
Well, the Earth was flat at one time, so...
Yes, yes. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They have an effect because they were afraid if they went too far, they'd fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So
right, until you start to deal with the edges, until you decide you want to go beyond, until you want to transcend, or even if you'd like to embrace sail to the edge of the ocean. Then it starts to matter a lot. If you would like to be joyous, it matters a lot what fear is. How strong is it? How far does that ocean really go? That matters a lot. If you want to go, if you want to transcend it, move beyond it, embrace it even. You want to embrace love? Do you want to know what love is? It matters a lot.
What do you do then?
Well, then we would have
to... I mean, fear is my thing right now, so what do you do?
Yes!
You just have to keep facing it.
That's why I'm reading this paragraph.
So you get sick and tired of it.
I'm so sick and tired of it.
You're sick and tired of it, you might be...
close. You're ready to birth anytime.
You're motivated. Mm-hmm. You might be motivated to look at what's actually happening. And motivated to follow a guide that has you do some crazy things to expose its weakness. You know its power. You're sick of its power. We have to expose its weakness. And we might expose its power in the same way. And then you would laugh at its power and saying, oh my God, it's me doing that to me. That's just a joke.
That's one of the reasons I asked about joy and delight, because I get a huge delight out of discovering what I'm feeling doesn't have a basis.
Nice. Yes. Let that lead to joy. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like the on-ramp to a freeway is delight. You get to speed up and go as fast as you can. The freeway is you get to stay at that speed, baby. And really travel. That's joy.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm feeling joy a lot because I love exploring.
Excellent.
What's going on.
You get accustomed to it. It gets addictive.
Right. See, I would never think of getting rid of fear or anger. I would think, I want to know what that's all about, so it just disappears on its own.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's where we investigate cause and effect are never separate. Fear seems to be a cause of stress. And what we're learning is that actually, as you said earlier, these emotions do not come first. There was a thought that was taken in and believed and swallowed, and then you just followed the hook wherever it went. As a fisherman of the ego drew it in, you followed. But it was a thought, see? And the thoughts come from your mind. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's what we're here to bust. It really is that simple. This paragraph contains the keys to your own personal salvation. Check it out. Fear is a symptom of your own deep sense of loss. He says, you know, obviously. But if when you perceive fear in others, you learn by somehow, some way, he's not filling in the details right here, he's just giving you the facts. You learn to supply the loss. When you see the loss in others, somebody else is having an emotion, you see that person having emotion like we did in our meditation, you understand the emotion is some manifestation of a loss. You supply with your mind the loss. A call for love asks for love. So you actually know what's missing. You know what's missing. Love appears to have been withdrawn. You know how to supply love. Do it in your own mind. Supply that love. And it dispels the power of the loss. You see, you have to recognize that all loss is only for one thing. Whether it's the dog or the paycheck or the car working or whatever it happens to be. Those are all discomforts that lead down to one loss. When you learn to see through all difficulties of the world and supply the single thing that's missing in each of them, the same as it is, it's the same, you've just taken the power out of fear. You've taken the power out of all its many, many faces. The face of Christ is one. The face of fear is many. Upon many. This is the sanity of your awakening. Okay, it's said so beautifully here. This is crazy, isn't it? Okay? Thereby, you teach yourself. This is about you. Even though we're looking at somebody else who's crying and their life is falling apart. You know, thereby, you teach yourself that fear does not exist in you. How does that work?
You mean the way you look at them?
Yes. You supply the one thing that's making them cry, the fear that they have, you supply it with your mind.
Yeah, because your thought is what you see, or you see what you've been thinking. It's a reflection of your thought.
Yes.
What? Well, I think it's more than that's the first part of it. I think the second part is, and you realize they really don't have anything to fear, and therefore I don't either.
Uh-huh. There isn't even any they. It's all about you.
Whatever.
No, that's fine. You can use they as an example, though. Yeah. That's what we're doing here. It's easier to look at somebody else than yourself. It's what you say is true. Mm-hmm. But it's so much easier to look at somebody else and say, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. What they'll be is a person without a dog. Like you were before you had the dog. But that's so bad.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I've never had a dog. She's my first dog.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And there's all, I could tell you magical stories about how it all happened.
Oh, yeah, we all got them.
Bonded, and, you know, and her seizures and everything we went through, you know, it's just, she's just the most amazing little angelic soul.
Yep.
And you'll remember her forever. Mm-hmm.
And if there's, and there's no reason for that love to be taken away from you tonight while she's still alive. Or 10 years from now when she isn't. There's no reason for that love to leave you. The ego would love the chance.
you've got a sample there.
Oh, man.
It's going to happen. It's like George Carlin said, when you get a pet, it's not going to end well. You know that.
Yeah, right.
You know that going in.
Yeah, the ego is just waiting to grab you and have its way with you. And the Holy Spirit is just waiting to grab you and have its way with you.
Because we all have our everything, anything
now,
but that.
It's going to be really bad.
Anything but that.
Yeah.
Right? People are supposed to die. It's tragic. It happens all the time. We have a grieving process, but pets not supposed to die. No. Not so soon.
You got
to
get a sea turtle. They're like 150 years old.
Yeah.
Rattlesnake.
No, then you'll feel guilty because you're going to leave them.
Yeah, see, there you go. I've already crossed that bridge.
Your pets are such unconditional love.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing.
They're such unconditional. Humans are like,
I know.
Such
you
a gift there, right?
Yeah.
So
they're only conditional.
Okay, so paragraph 9. Get ready now. Right? Sentence 3. Thereby, you teach yourself that fear does not exist in you. What was thereby? How so? By seeing another suffering, then that outward picturing that you see, and you close the loop. You supply the love, how everything is actually not a problem. God, I know. I mean, it's so horrible. Nobody would wish loss on another. Loss of a perfect pet. Nobody would wish that. What we would wish is that they would one day, not today right away, just be too harsh, but we would supply the love that they wake up and say, okay, God, that was the greatest dog ever. And I still love her. Even though she's gone. And have that smile come on their face for the first time. Let's supply that, right? You in your mind, because you know wholeness. You know what love feels like when love's missing, how to supply it. You just pick away, and you can complete that. And erase the fear. In other words, something else I also like, when you go to get the pet, you would know, you know, yes, I want that pain. 13 years from today. Yes.
Yeah.
Give me the puppy. I want the pain.
I used to say the only thing worse than getting a puppy is regretting getting a puppy.
I know, right?
Well, I always had cats, and somehow they're all so on their own.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different commitment.
And, you know, and it's traumatic for a minute, and then I get another cat. You know, it's not... It's not like
the dog love.
Know, Jess is Jess. She
looks you in the eye, right?
What's that?
She looks you right in the eye.
Oh God, yes.
Oh, what?
And you know, when a dog looks in the eye, that's a dog hug. You know, it's like so. Oh.
Or I'm hungry.
My cat looks me right in the eye.
You got a nice cat.
Scratches the hell out of me.
You're supposed to bring your cat in.
Cats are here on their own terms. Dogs are here on our terms. Yes. Cats are here on their own terms.
Only when I want you to look at me while I look at you.
Say though that my daughter's had lots of cats, and every one of them that has passed, she has remembered with love.
I remember all mine with love.
Yeah.
Okay. The purpose why you remember your cat with love is to teach yourself that there is no fear in you. People can really trip themselves out and do in a horrible way with emotions. Mm-hmm. But this is because they're tripping themselves out with the emotions and they're continuing to feed on this feast of brain chemicals that they're injecting with their body mind, and the brain answers with chemicals of fear, shame, guilt, loss, worthlessness, emptiness, on and on. None of it's real. The square is not there.
But you still have your boo-hoo with your reverent indifference. Is that what you call it?
Oh yeah, a divine indifference.
Divine indifference.
Yes.
So it's like there's also the truth of this. You know, it's a bummer.
Yes.
I mean, it's.
But it's not as deep and dark as it ever was before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be it crying as it may, and by no means that's not evil or unenlightened or unhappy. It's the body, mind, and the body, brain crying, doing what it does in this world. Mm-hmm. But there will be a light in you that will not be extinguished. Whereas beforehand, the ego has handily can extinguish the light, even cause suicide.
You're KO'd.
Suicide we're talking about.
You're KO'd. Yeah.
That's now, what we're talking Yeah.
Now you have a good cry, but you're nowhere near KO'd.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
You don't even know KO'd anymore.
It's a celebration of life.
It's just a bummer.
Even through the tears.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's all different. You know, it's so different. Okay, now, thereby, by so doing that, paragraph, sentence, who, okay, thereby you teach yourself that fear does not exist in you. Okay? There's a how-to for you right there. The means for removing fear is in yourself, and you have demonstrated this by giving it, by giving the means, by giving that love. Fear and love are the only emotions of which you are capable. Now, doesn't that make it simple?
Right.
Whoa. We're down to binary, folks. One or the other. On or off.
There's only one way out of this maze.
Black or white.
Two.
Two?
One or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the most complex computers start with the binary, so we can complicate our lives if we want to.
Oh, man. Somebody's cubicle wall back when I worked in Silicon Valley, they said, to err is in dot control. To err is human, but to really beat up takes a computer.
Oh, that's funny. So what they're saying is, if fear and love are the only emotions of which we are capable, then all the emotions that are not of love come out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what is fear? What is fear, Course in Miracles students? Anybody been here with me?
It's a call for love.
It's a call for love. Look at paragraph 8, top of the page, sentence 11. If my memory serves me right. 13. Paragraph 8, sentence 13, right in the middle of the page.
For fear is a call for love. In unconscious recognition of what has been denied.
Whoa. Take a breath. Read that again. Highlight that if you haven't already. I think this is one of the most comprehensive, quick to the point, amazing sentences in the entire book. It puts fear and love in the same sentence, one defining the other.
And it explains all behavior.
Yeah. Yes.
It really does.
It does, doesn't it? And it makes it innocent.
Yeah.
Everything is innocence now. Are you serious? Yeah. Everything is innocent now. That isn't obviously love, but that's a celebration. That's the joy and the delight.
Mm-hmm. So I get that intellectually, and at least intellectually.
Yes.
It's like, it explains everything.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
you know.
Yes.
And I'm noticing I'm having a hard time being with it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because it's going to deny the your justification for being lost. And we love to be lost because we get to check out and bake cookies.
And it's what we're used to.
And blame. Yeah.
I mean, it's just where we're all and where our, everyone else seems to be most of the time. And I mean, that's...
I'm telling you,
this is not yet the new normal.
In a sick and twisted way, it's comforting because it's your familiar identity.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're still far from this being... The default. Our default programs still stink, and then
misery loves company,
right.
And that means more misery. So the more misery, the better.
And the look at the conditioning. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
But when I'm not being driven by something that's got me in a a tailspin.
Yes.
When I'm in a place, a good place, you know, where I've come to be more often now.
Yeah.
It's becomes really fun and interesting to observe all of the fear and all of the various things going on as the, like you were saying, this world spins around us. It's fun to kind of watch it, you know,
yes.
Because you can see things through a whole different set of glasses, you know.
And each time you do, it supports your strength and your freedom.
That's exactly, Kim, exactly what I was saying. That's why it's such a delight in exploring it.
Yeah.
It's, I think exploring emotions is the most fun thing there is on this world.
I've been I've discovered podcasts lately, so
I've been
listening to all these different podcasts, and it's fascinating to me how I can listen to these different things and I'm thinking about them from a different mind than I wouldn't have been able to listen to them a couple years ago. But my mind has definitely changed, and I have it, and I listen to them, and I'll go, okay, this is just kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It is very much an illusion, you know, it's a story going on, so.
It might be fun.
It is a little bit fun.
It's fun when it's at a distance. The stuff that's easy is easy. It's like there's no order of difficulty and grievances, that whole thing, like, I can course in miracles, all kinds of stuff, but then when it gets real...
That's true. When it's close to home,
then
it's very different.
Then it's custom made.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's even fun. I think that's fun to find out what's going on inside of me.
Well, it depends on how close to home it gets.
This is a fine edge, where you actually cross over to your own personal awakening. Will you save yourself?
You have
one purpose in this now, after Course in Miracles. You have one purpose in this life, and it is to choose the atonement for yourself. For yourself, not for them, not at a distance, but that you would actually survive these emotions in freedom, like you did with that appointment. Mm-hmm. What a better way to live! Can you just handle all your difficulties that way, Stephen?
So much easier.
And when it does get close to home, we have a responsibility to ourselves to do what needs to be done to get us through it. And that responsibility is sitting down and trying to center in and find that place of peace and ask God to change the way we are seeing something or thinking about something. I mean, it's our responsibility to take that step. It's not going to happen unless we initiate it.
That's right. You will not be a victim to peace.
Right.
Because you've already chosen darkness. Mm-hmm. You've already chosen fear, hate, guilt, difficulty, challenge, conditionality. It's already chosen. You will not be a victim. It'll be taken from you. Your choice will not be taken or made for you.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're choosing your unholy spirit as your guide.
Yes.
The book is saying, hey, try your Holy Spirit as your guide. Take a moment when contraction comes, go still, invite another part of your mind, the part with light.
Oh, yeah.
And lift up about it. And just drown in the love instead of the fear.
And sometimes the closest I can get to that is by just saying, I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
I want to be, but I'm not.
Yes.
And I'm not going to think, and I'm not going to say anything until I can get a little bit closer to being ready.
Yeah, and the way to do that is on you know, like page 298 and page 660, and it says, I do not know what this is, or what it means, or what it is for, or what I'm supposed to know.
That's the best.
It's so freeing.
That is the best.
The little willingness to pray with confidence. That's it. I don't know how or what or
it's
anything.
So free.
I don't need to know.
Yeah.
I'm just willing to see this differently.
Yeah.
I think up to you now.
When I first heard that, I thought it was hooey, and I probably say that to myself every day.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is about.
Yeah. Lesson, what I think is 20 and 21, I'm determined to see. Mm. I'm determined to see things differently. Mm. Oh, really?
But you don't need to know how.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just be determined.
Confident. You just love that, to pray with confidence. Yes. Don't just please, but just to...
That's enough.
I love that.
I don't know what this uncomfortable feeling means that, you know, is coming up in me, so I'm just going to, you know.
You don't know how, you don't have to build the ladder to get out of the rabbit hole. Yeah.
That's what forgiveness is.
Yes.
You're saying, I'm not ready, is you're forgiving the idea that you should be ready.
Yeah.
And you just release all the pressure right there, Kim.
Because we have to go through certain things. We can't be joyful in bliss all the time. Theoretically, we could, if we could let ourselves be that.
Yeah. Did you know that people put on a certain type of clothing, and they go to a certain location on the planet, they go through a small door, and they run their bodies into each other until somebody falls down and gets knocked out. Or at least, they can take the ball away from them. Call it football. And they purposely go in and beat themselves, and they're having a great time. Both sides are saying, hit me again, just try. I'm going to hit you. It's by choice. Would it be possible that you are suited up right now, Walt, in your uniform right now? There he is. All geared up on the field mid-game. Batting his head against the wall of his life with a big smile on his face and saying, this is great, I'm in a body. And then it would just be free to play it out. It's not, it's still a game regardless of which way the score goes.
That's such an interesting point. Like, to put yourself through that, and sport now will always, that's such a good analogy.
Yeah.
And I mean, hockey's my game, so talk about hockey, like the gladiator, you know, drop your gloves, run them into the board.
That's a better example, because often the score is 0-0 and the game's over. What?
I had such a great
game. Wasn't that a great game? Yeah, but who won? When? What? Move the puck.
Yeah.
Is that right? You have a zero score in hockey, is that right?
Yeah.
I still don't get that. All right. Paragraph 9. Okay. Sentence 5. Fear and love are the only emotions of which you are capable. Doesn't that make your existence simple? Ready? One is false, for, it means because, like, it was made out of denial. And denial depends on belief in what's denied for its own existence. Fool? One, fear, is false because fear depends, it's made out of denial. And denial depends on the belief in what's been denied, which in this case is love. You only have two emotions. There's only two possibilities, fear or love. And if you're feeling fear, it depends on love. Because fear is made out of the denial of love. Love is not made out of the denial of fear. That's not the way this thing unwraps. Mm-hmm. Love is.
Right down to it, really. There's only one. It's just love.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. There really isn't any fear.
And now you're free to look upon everything from the perspective of love.
Yeah.
There is only love.
And it's very comforting if you can really realize that that is really what we are.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And it's very safe.
And what we're calling
and
for.
And when I feel this other thing, I'm letting that happen.
Yeah.
It's not what I am.
How sweet is it you're calling for so much love? How sweet is it, this hunger for love?
It is a hunger for love. I mean, it is. It's all, and I think it grows.
How sweet is it when he loses that dog? We've, of all of us who have been there, he hasn't been there yet. All of us who've been there, how sweet is it to have had that love to even miss? I wouldn't give it up. I wouldn't give it up. It took those beautiful dogs to die for me to fully know what I was enjoying. Wouldn't give it up. Fear is a call for love, and it's always love.
Well, it took me losing so much of myself, and I wouldn't give up going through that to be where I am now.
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Yeah.
And it was hell.
It was hell.
Yeah. So
the tenuous, fragile person you were before would still be tenuous and fragile,
and victim and confused and. Yeah.
Not able to help, not able to love the way you can now.
Right.
Wouldn't give it up for anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy what's in this paragraph? Okay. Seven. By interpreting fear correctly as a positive affirmation of the underlying belief it masks, which is love, you're undermining fear's perceived usefulness by rendering fear useless. No, Kim just did. Kim did it. Kim closed the circle. And she saw this only love. Rendering the fear useless. The idea of fear. It's just love. And we can supply what's lacked. And it's love. We can supply this love in our mind. And when you do, the fear disappears from you.
Because the darkness is what's... It's contrast creates clarity.
Yes, yes.
The fear, it proves the love.
Right? Like the shadow proves there's light.
Yeah.
There is a light that makes the shadow. If you focus on the shadow, all you talk about is shadow and darkness.
It's only there to remind you.
But when you recognize the shadow doesn't exist except for the light that's being cast,
yeah,
it's all about the light.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be a shadow if there if there wouldn't be the shadow if there weren't the light.
Exactly.
That's it. So. And so is your awakening to cause and effect. And in this book there is love. There's only love to existence. And the darkness is a call for love. And the darkness only exists because of the denial of the love. So there's really just love.
And there's such a customness to it, I feel. Don't you find that often there's like this thing that like people just, these things find people that are custom made for them. You know, there's a...
The world's perfect for that, right?
Yeah.
The button pushers.
It's got something for everybody.
The ass-holy ones.
It just,
Yes.
Yeah.
The world's perfect for that. Now the world is a place where you've come to heal. It, as the book says, the world... was a place where you came to hide and to cry. Didn't say exactly like that. But now, with the Holy Spirit in tow, this world, the very thing that you made so that you could feel pain and separation and darkness, that very thing, the world, is now used for your healing and your joy. And the holiest place on earth is where an ancient frickin' hatred becomes a present love. That is a holy place. That's the gift of the world now. That's what it means to save the world. And that's what your salvation is.
And
a translation.
Hatred is ourselves, isn't it?
Hatred is a emotion that's caused by a thought.
It's a story. It's like an old story.
It's a story of division. And it's a demand for a division. But it's just a story. It's just a set of thoughts, and it is a non-inclusive one. So it's a thought of separation. You could see the calls for love in whatever it is you think deserves hatred. And then you supply that love in your own mind, and fear is gone. Understanding has arrived. Compassion has arrived. And you understand the game that you're actually playing. And now you can take everything a little lighter. Yeah, especially now you can start taking more responsibility for it too. Now that you recognize that all it is love and a call for love, it's all about love, and I'm love, I want to be love. It's okay now, and it will still allow you to go through the door. This will allow you to go a door towards your ascendance, taking responsibility to be the dreamer instead of just a figure in the dream. You won't do that if you think the dream is absolutely horrible. I'm not taking responsibility for that. But you recognize a dream is love and a call for love. It's love, and you want to be love, and you are love. It's a little easier to take that job now because the description is lover. Mm-hmm. You want that job.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you go with your awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so by interpreting fear correctly as a positive affirmation of the underlying belief it masks, love, you're undermining its perceived usefulness, fears, by rendering fear useless. Defenses that do not work at all, when they don't, they're automatically discarded. If you raise what fear conceals, which is love, to clear-cut unequivocal predominance, love, 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 fear becomes meaningless. You have denied fear's power to conceal love, which was the fear's only purpose, was to conceal the love so you could actually look at the shadow for a while. The veil that you have drawn across the face of love has disappeared. Isn't that a beautiful paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this whole section is so great.
I had a client once who was in, he was young, and he was in New York in 9/11.
Yes.
And he got so afraid of being on an airplane that he had a hard time getting on one. He had gotten himself to California, he wanted to go home. So he came to see me to figure out a way to get home. And when we went deeper and deeper into what the fear was about, it turns out he was thinking he was all alone in the black, and there was nobody there, nothing there. He was just all alone. And I didn't, at that time, because it was years ago, didn't equate that with him wanting love, wanting to feel love.
Mm-hmm.
But sitting here thinking about it now, I realized that's what he was calling.
He found a model of the closed closet door, the blackness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he grabbed that model. Yeah. Let's turn to page 475 in the text and look at paragraph 6. Stephen, when you get there. And remember, what we're talking about is the messengers.
Which paragraph?
Paragraph 6 on the bottom of the page, very bottom. And what we're talking about here is how do we catch these emotions that keep showing us the square, whether we want to see it or not. This would be to be freed from our habitual mind. Stephen, go. 6.
These eyes made not to see will never see. For the idea they represent left not its maker, and it is their maker that sees through them. What was its maker's goal but not to see? For this is the body's eyes are perfect means, but not for seeing. See how the body's eyes rest on externals and cannot go beyond. Watch how they stop at nothingness, unable to go beyond the form to meaning.
Uh-huh. Like that, just like that. They stop at the nothingness.
Nothing so blindly as perception of form, for sight of form means understanding has been obscured.
Nothing so blinding as a perception of form, for sight of form means understanding has been obscured. Full stop, complete teaching. Witness what your body's eyes do.
Judgment
and belief in materialism. Well, next paragraph. We got to speed up. Let's spend more time on that. We'll come back some other day. But for now, I just want you to get these three paragraphs. Number 7.
Only mistakes have different forms, and so they can deceive. You can change form because it is not true. It could not be reality because it can be changed.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Reason will tell you that if form is not reality, it must be an illusion and is not there to see. And if you see it, you must be mistaken, for you are seeing what cannot be real as if it were. What cannot see beyond what is not there must be distorted perception and must perceive illusions as the truth. Could it, then, recognize the truth?
See that last question? Could it recognize the truth if it's actually using illusions as reality? It's drunk. It's inside its dream. We need to step up beyond the square and look at where the square came from to see that the square is not there. Otherwise, the square is there. It's a square. We had to actually go beyond. You have to challenge your perception from the perspective of love in order to see that fear is a call for love. Kim did it. She closed the circle. She says, oh my God, what we're talking about here is love. Even if there's fear, since it's a call for love, because love has been denied, it just wants love to return, fear is actually just looking for love. So it's really love. The fear is not there. It's denying that the love is. And it would have it come back ASAP. That's all it wants. It doesn't want more fear. It wants more love. Wow! Right? Healed. The world is understood. Innocence is returned.
So you could go, wow, I'm really afraid. Wow, I must be love.
Yeah, wow! There must be love here.
I hate this. This is terrific.
Know. Hey, this is just the shadow of love. I must be...
Doesn't get better than this! Two broken femurs!
This is the best thing ever.
I'm in the mud and it's 8 hours later.
I know.
Two broken femurs.
I know.
Don't get better than this. God's love is about to happen any second.
Well, a moment ago you said, you know, especially because I'm have been totally overwhelmed with some significant fear. But before you said how sweet it is that you call for so much love. And that was striking to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a different way of putting what you just said. But, you know,
yes.
That's really, and I know that's, I know that's what I want.
Yes.
That's the yearning.
Yes. We all know how much love Stephen has yet to know about that same dog. We all know it. Anybody who's lost a dog knows. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But no. I'm really glad I had it.
I can't think of one dog I had that I'm not glad I have.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I have lots of them.
Yeah. Okay, let's continue. Walt, you ready? Number 8.
Let not the form of his mistakes keep you from him whose holiness is yours. Let not the vision of his holiness, the sight of which would show you your forgiveness, be kept from you by what the body's eyes can see.
Those damn body's eyes again.
Rip them out.
Best thing ever happened.
That paragraph almost made me cry.
Oh.
Let your awareness of your brother not be blocked by your perception of his sins and of his body. What is there in him that you would attack except what you associate with his body, which you believe can sin? Beyond his errors is his holiness and your salvation. You gave him not his holiness, but tried to see your sins in him to save yourself. And yet, his holiness is your forgiveness. Can you be saved by making sinful the one whose holiness is your salvation?
Whoa! His holiness is your forgiveness. Do you see the circle? We're talking about an ass holy one here. And the gift that is waiting for you to collect. Custom made for you. The perfect button pusher. Yeah.
Can you recognize that you're pushing your own buttons?
Yes.
Okay. In other words, if I look at myself, I see the buttons I'm pushing.
Yes.
So therefore, I can see that when I'm looking at in myself is an illusion.
Yes, it is a real illusion created by your button pushing, by the very thoughts that you cherished that caused some emotion that made the thoughts seem legitimate.
Which I think is why I like to go in and find out what buttons I'm pushing, because then eventually I can say, okay, all I'm doing is doing it to myself.
Yeah, see, this is why how is the important question. and not why. Because why can lead to somebody else pushing buttons. But how means I'm remembering right now how rotten that son of a bitch was to me. Oh, really? And that making you upset? Yes! Who's remembering it? I am. Oh, it's me. It's me.
Exactly.
He's doesn't even know he did it. Yeah. How? Yeah. Okay. All right, back to page 410 with the last...
I was really frustrated when somebody remembers something I did that pushed their buttons, and I can't remember doing it.
Right?
For what?
Okay, 410.
Back to 410.
Back to 410. We're just going to look at now. We've been around this topic so nicely. We're just going to look one more time at this beautiful paragraph 12. And it says, relationships in this world are the result of how the world is seen. And this depends on which emotion was called on to send its messengers to look upon the world and return with word of what they saw. You sent out the messengers, they came back with what you told them to find. So, in other words, Walt, I got good news, I got bad news. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I found the problem. Good news. It's you. If you've got a problem, it's you. If you've got a solution, it's you too. So, kick back, relax, and choose peace, and you'll have peace. If you're choosing something else, you've been choosing that. Isn't that good to know? There isn't any other source. Turns out. None is possible. Even possible. Kim described it. She says, you know what? This fear thing, that which all we would run from, now I see that it is an invitation, a call, a direct line to love. And not just any love, folks. It's a direct line to the perfect love that would be most appreciated.
And how lucky we are in this room to be able to recognize that and not have to be afraid of the fear that's in us.
Yes.
Because most people don't know that. And and they don't know how to interpret it. They don't know, and it has a lot of power over them if they can't identify what that means.
And the power is self-building and validating, and the fear makes the thought worse, and the thought feels worse because the feeling is worse, which makes the feeling worse, which makes the thought worse.
And that's where the chaos.
And that's where the chaos
so
and the
much chaos.
The darkness just surround you, drown in it. Mm-hmm. But we can stop that cycle short by saying, "Oh, love,
yes,
is called for," and suddenly the word love is on your mind instead of all the darkness. That's all it takes to snap out of it. Otherwise, the ego, you know, will continue as requested. Okay.
Misery will be refunded.
Yeah, try it. Fierce messengers are trained through terror, and the fierce messengers tremble when their master calls on them to serve him, for fear is merciless even to its friends. What a terrible cycle fear and dealing with fear is. You know why? Because it's fearful. Mm-hmm. Fierce messengers steal guiltily away in hungry search of guilt, for they are kept cold and starving and made very vicious by their master, the ego, who allows them to feast only upon what they return to him. No little shred of guilt escapes their hungry eyes, because they become so hungry for that thing which satisfies them. This is the attraction to guilt we're talking about. This is how comforting it is. Somehow, fear has this nasty way of self-fulfilling. And that's that hunger of fear that we're catching. We're catching tonight. That this it's a nasty dog that you loose on yourself. A cyclical thought that you promote that eats at you, but can be stopped.
But it's like sickening, because it's like an abusive relationship with your false identity.
Yeah, exactly. And it will continue unless you derail it.
There's a level of physical conditioning that's happened too, right?
Yes, that's right.
Not just our willingness or our awareness of it. There's also the synapse that just, you know.
The brain chemistry Stephen talked about. It's going to fire. The brain's going to fire with fear feelings unless you pull in the antidote, which is, Kim, drum roll. Love. So just the thought of love. Where is love now, you might say? You've said the word love. It's arresting.
When we have our sabotaging, repetitious stuff, I feel like it's Olympic training to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really. I know what can trip me right up.
You know, it would be. It is Olympic training, and it may be useless, actually, if you're meeting it on its level, on its mm-hmm. own level. If you stay in the level of fear, it only knows fear and only knows somehow satisfying the fear or denying the fear or running from the fear or guilting it someplace else. If you stay in that same level. So this is why you need a miracle. A miracle is where you allow your mind to not fix the fear and fix the world of fear, but to see through the fear. And this mm-hmm. takes the Holy Spirit. It mm-hmm. takes a different perception, a different perspective right. of the exact same thing, not mm-hmm. running from it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this allows laughter to come up. Mm-hmm. And it allows actually a heartwarming to occur in an otherwise very cold situation. Right. When you see the love behind the fear. Mm-hmm. And what is the fear calling for? It's calling for love somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's kind of sweet, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's bust the loss that fear would otherwise demand. When you see that it's calling for the gain.
I remember about a year back, I was going through a really bad stretch and I just couldn't break out of it. And somebody said, well, you must be getting something out of it
right.
to be in it.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I'm not going to hang around you anymore. I was pissed. But it was true. It took me about a minute to realize it was true. And then it was a process of having to let go of it. And I, you know, I don't know. I think we always go through those slumps to get, you know, we're always getting higher and higher and higher in our awareness.
Yeah.
And it feels like a slump before we get to that next level.
Yep.
So...
Yes, and the down cycles are shorter and the long cycles are longer
mm-hmm.
as we start to awaken and know that the light is within us and not out there somewhere to be found.
Yeah, and we have to recognize we're hanging on to it ourselves because we're...
Yeah.
You know, because I know I'll go on, I'm not quite ready to let go of this one yet. I'm not even going to talk to God about it yet. Talk to God about everything else.
Uh-huh.
But I won't talk to God about that.
Yeah,
no,
because I'm not ready.
Too many chemicals.
Because I'm not going to like what he has to say.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm not doing
not
that.
Yet.
Well, no, it's not required that you have no impure thoughts, just that you have none that you would keep.
That you would keep.
That's the trick.
Oh, I remember that, too. And I'm like, okay, I'm holding on to this one.
There's the attraction.
You just have to acknowledge you're holding on to it, and that takes power away.
Yes, it does.
You know,
right.
So.
That's the attraction we're talking about, that the Course is trying to bust.
On to it.
You got it, Kim.
Ooh.
I'll have times where I can't wait to get home from work and just sit and be with this and get the peace, and I'll put it off.
Oh, yeah.
I will be anxious all day to get home, and I'll get home, and then I'll find something else to do to put it off. You know, sometimes it takes
I've been doing that for 6 months.
Isn't that like an addiction?
Oh, very much.
Holding on to something, mm-hmm. keeping doing something, cherishing something
mm-hmm.
that is harmful.
Mm-hmm.
The way I put it is I choose to be on the path finding peace in this problem
mm-hmm.
or finding love in this problem.
Say it out loud. Bust it. Bust the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. So your mind is very busy sending out messengers. And you tell them what it is they're to find and not to come back until they do. This is how you're living your life. You are automatically, if you don't choose peace, if you don't choose love, if you don't choose inclusiveness, if you don't try to wake up
ask the Holy Spirit to weigh in first. If you don't choose the goal ahead of time, you're going to see that square I wrote on the board every single time. And there ain't no square there. So you're going to be living as if there was. And when you need a square, you go to find it, it won't be there. So don't be calling out for fear when there's no fear. Don't be looking for love inside of fearful things. You simply start by healing, closing the circle, and the love is in you. And now see it out there. Not as something out there to come into you. You were making demands on it, it will never bring. That square will not come off that board. Supply the love in your mind for any fearful situation, and you will find the love in you. And the fear will start to dissolve away, not to be found. You can never go as deep as you once were as you start to wake up to the love that is in you all the time. For fear is a call for love in unconscious recognition of what has been denied. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, good job, crew.